Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. I am live in the one studio I have that apparently wants to work. These days, technical issues with the other one. So apologies for the late start, but hey, if you're here, thumbs up, subscribe, apple, banana, whatever fruits in the chat, please. All those emojis. We want them. We love them. We've got exclusive news to talk about from FightfulSelect.com and much more, but by God, we're here right now on a week where we've got a Mark Henry interview coming up. I've got a nice video where I talk about meeting Maven. A lot of cool things there. Check it out. But we've got Alex Palowski here. He's over on FightfulSelect.com. Yeah. Lots. But he showed up to work tonight, which is surprising to me considering the threat of tonight's AEW Dynamite. Or the threat of it, depending on how you would take what happened.
Yeah, every time I was able to settle in and go, this is a pretty good episode of Dynamite, something would happen and would make me just want to quit. That's how much I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. I hate it so much.
Oh my gosh. A reminder, guys, FightfulSelect.com. I'll plug it as pertinent things come up. That's the most direct way to support us. In fact, today was a really great example of why you should subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I know a lot of people will say, why would I pay $5 a month for something I can get free later? Because apparently you can't get it free later because Will Ospreay had to say, guys, I'm not on a sabbatical. I'm taking this week off because a website reported that he was going on a sabbatical because we reported he had the week off. Not multiple weeks. One week. One week he had off. One
I suppose technically it's just a really short sabbatical. You know, like
they knew what they were doing.
They did know what they were doing. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be real. I have had numerous people when they say, "Hey, why'd you report this about me?" And I'm like, "Show me where you got that quote from." Mm-hmm. And then I see where it came from and I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing, intentionally misquoting me.
Right.
That way potential sources will be like, why did you say this?
Right.
Why did you say this? Mm-hmm. I'm onto their game, but you know what? FightfulSelect.com. We have the highest volume of news. We have the most accurate news. Check it out. $5 a month and you get a ton of shows and you get access to our Discord. But hey, if you want to help us out here right now, thumbs up, comments in either the chat or afterwards, because I'm here always talking with you guys. But you can get your question or statement read on the air like these wonderful people are doing here at youtube.com/fightful with a super chat. Or if you're one of the thousands and thousands of people that watch us on X or Twitter Live or Twitch, you can go to humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com. We got that set up. That way, you know, there's a lot of people who just don't watch on YouTube. They watch on other platforms or they download it on audio platforms. You can get your question or statement in there. Our wonderful moderator, Luis, will help us keep track of those. But Glassdoor Gamer says, hi, guys. Hello, friend. Let's talk about what kicked off the show. Chi-Town Spurs says, I was hoping MJF wouldn't resort to some of the least interesting parts of his reign last year. His lines caused the chance towards, or the what chance towards Roosh. That's not the MJF we need in 2024. Well, I didn't necessarily see that. I see him, you know, going to some of the same tendencies, you know, some of the same interactive type of promo things, but he looks different. He's not leaning necessarily into I'm so much of a babyface or so much of a heel. He's just right. Leaning into what it is that he does. And I think that he's smart enough as a performer, Alex, to realize that. And I got to be honest. Hey, 2 weeks ago on Fightful Select's Q&A, I'd said Roosh is in store for a big match, to the point to where people close to Roosh said, what do you mean? I haven't heard this. And I said, guess what? I have. It was MJF. And I went into that with a lot of doubts.
Mm-hmm.
And I left tonight's opening segment no longer having doubts. They heated up Roosh, I think,
sure.
Immediately. We're going to break down this promo at length. What did you think of what we saw, which was MJF targeting Okada, Swerve, Ospreay, and then Roosh interrupting, MJF setting him up for a nobody gives a shit line. We got some what chants as well, but those were quickly overcome by the heat associated with the segment, I feel.
Sure. Like MJF, I feel like may actually be that generational talent that he loves to say that he so often. When he doesn't rely on the crutch of guy I'm name dropping for no reason doesn't have six pack abs. Other guy I'm name dropping for no reason. For some reason, I'm insinuating he doesn't speak well. Other guy I'm name dropping for no reason. Like, and he just throws this stuff. Like when he said to Roosh, like, a dime store suit. I don't know. That suit looked fine to me. The dime store suit looks like your bank account's a little dry, about as dry as every woman you've ever slept with. Like, what does that have to do with anything? I honestly, I don't care who does it. I've never liked that lowest common denominator. Let's sure. Show out the laugh at an insult. You're not an insult comic. You're a professional wrestler. I mean, let's do that. I loved when he turned it around and said, no, actually, I know how great you are. Building up the guy, but if you're going to actually take a shot at him, do it with something that's, I don't know, provable in the moment, as opposed to an assumption about the man's love life. I don't know. It just felt kind of lazy to me, but
maybe he's heard things.
Perhaps he has.
We can't say it's an assumption. We don't know.
Yeah.
I love that they did a pull apart brawl here for this.
Yeah.
Because Roosh has always struck me as the type of person who, if disrespected, that's exactly how he would behave. Like right. Everything about his demeanor and his character, his in-ring persona and presentation has struck me as I don't care who you are, who you've beaten, or what your class or status is. If you disrespect him, he's going to come after you like that. Uh-huh. And MJF does not care. MJF is sort of the same way. He's he'll go at you verbally first. And the way I've always looked at MJF is if he even likes you or is just mildly annoyed by you, he'll result to LOL, your girlfriend is dry.
Right.
If he really hates you, that's when he's going to dig deep and attack you with something that is much, much more than on the surface, so to speak. But I thought that this was a great way to set that up. I don't know if this is for Forbidden Door or not. It wouldn't necessarily make sense within the context of Forbidden Door, but
no, I don't know. I mean, what I understood was that the match was supposed to happen tonight, but then they decided to build it up with this segment, which I think is a good idea, as opposed to like going into the match cold. Now, if they do it next week, or I guess even the week after, like there'll be something about it that makes sense, but and they'll heat it up some more. And he did say, like, at Forbidden Door, I'll probably wrestle some guy from Japan or Mexico.
Yeah.
Buy those tickets, everybody.
He said that he would be on Forbidden Door, but Tim says this was not MJF or AEW at their best tonight. I mean, I think it's MJF at what you kind of expect at this point. Like,
it's the tried and true formula that he's gone back to. I think that is, to me, it's very facile to him. Like, it's just something he can drop into without any effort and do it, and the crowd laps it up. But I know he's better than that. I know that he can write better stuff than that. I've seen him do it. And so I challenge him to do that more often, because that's the stuff that I'm like, okay, now that's the guy. That's the guy that you say you are, and everybody also knows you can be. Just coming out there and doing a bunch of, like, just random insults to me, it isn't what I a lot of people love it. Isn't what I want out of a guy who I know is that talented.
James Zimmerman says, shout out for the wrestling granny. Also near her was a Renee Paquette and RJ City Golden Girls sign. Sawyer said, did MJF tell the crowd to stop a what chant, or what was that? I must have missed that. I mean, I heard the what chants, but I think every wrestler should say that's stupid. Don't do it.
I think they were, because he kind of invited it, and I don't think he realized what he was doing when he was like,
sure,
I couldn't hear what you were saying. I think they were like, because you're speaking, because the accent, that's right, go back to Mexico, or some crap that somebody in the crowd might have been yelling too loud. And he was like, no, we're not doing that. Like, I don't know what it was.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what it was. So,
because it was right after he said the I can't understand you.
I think the
crowd thought it was something else.
Yeah, they thought it was something about his accent or dialect. And then he was like, no. It's because the Young Bucks run this show. Brandon Cutler is running the truck, and therefore we can't physically hear anything. I don't know if that was intentional or if he just wisely recognized that in the moment. But either way, it was. I'm glad that that happened as a result. Like, I'm glad that he kind of shut that down. We had the international title contenders match. Rey Fénix defeated Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Jay Lethal. Thomas Sandberg says, what was with the TNT qualifier and the four-way not being announced? What was it with nothing announced for Collision? Does Tony not often know who is available for shows until the day up? Well, no, because they have travel set up. They did announce this match, as best I remember. They said that they were going to have a top contender match. The TNT qualifier, they announced that last week as well via Christopher Daniels. So, Thomas, I appreciate the super chat, but they absolutely announced that TNT title qualifiers were coming. They didn't specifically say who it was.
This one. Yeah, that was the one to me, because at the time, earlier before they did this, I said, so are we still doing those I was on my the Sour Graps Discord, and I was like, did I miss something? Did they say they were going to do another TNT ladder match qualifier, or is it just Takeshita versus himself? Because it feels like forever since Takeshita won that first match, and to me they hadn't announced any other ones. Then they had one. That's good. My question about this Fatal 4-Way is, I guess it's like a thing of like Will Ospreay's going to defend his title literally all the time, because they've already set him up to have a match versus Swerve for Forbidden Door. So in the meantime, he's got to defend his title on an episode of Dynamite, and they're doing a Fatal 4-Way for that, and concurrently, but somehow not involved in this, they're doing a Daniel Garcia challenged Will Ospreay in a promo. I'm coming for your international title, but wasn't in this Fatal 4-Way. And yet Jay Lethal was, and I don't know when the last time he had a match on TV that he won. So like, I'm just saying, like, if there was all people who were on crazy winning streaks, or I don't know, a guy who just had an international title shot and lost in Kyle O'Reilly, great match. But I don't know why he's wrestling for the opportunity for a rematch when you have a guy, Danny Garcia, cutting a promo saying, I'm coming for you, Will Ospreay. I feel like you should take the opportunity to then put him in this qualifying match. This kind of felt confusing to me, but
Jay Lethal's match. Jay Lethal's last singles win on TV was in October against Trent Beretta.
Okay, there you go.
It's been a while. It's been a long while. And before that, April, he beat, last April, he beat Cash Wheeler, which pretty good win in retrospect. But 14 months later, not so much.
Yeah.
Fantastic match. Eloquent says that Kyle O'Reilly has been on a roll since returning. He wrestles every match like it's his last because in reality, and you know, Ivar and I had this same conversation Mania week. In reality, every match could be their last match whenever you have the type of injury that a Kyle O'Reilly or an Ivar had. So no big surprise there. Rey Fénix winning this match gets me real excited for next week. Will Ospreay and Rey Fénix. Will Ospreay, who just has the week off, as Fightful Select reported.
Yes.
The match itself, it is what you would expect out of something like this in AEW. Yeah. It's a match with stakes. You can debate whether or not one or a couple of the ingredients should be involved in there. Orange Cassidy should because of his wins and Kyle O'Reilly for sure. Rey Fénix coming off of an injury, sort of. Jay Lethal is the one that it's like, okay, he never wins, so what's up with that?
Yeah, I kind of thought that that Orange Cassidy would win this simply because it goes back to the Forbidden Door, him versus Ospreay. So you have that kind of history between them, international title, trying to get it back. And because they are doing this thing with Trent, who is Orange Cassidy's mortal enemy, who is now part of the Don Callis family, a family that Will Ospreay also somehow nominally still belongs to. So the idea of Will Ospreay wanting to have a fair fight with Orange Cassidy, because, you know, that's Will Ospreay, and Trent always trying to get a cheap shot in on Orange Cassidy, would then accelerate the breakup of Will Ospreay away from the Don Callis family, which is something that I greatly want. Now, I'm not going to complain about Will Ospreay versus Rey Fénix. That match is going to be amazing, but it does feel like if it's a one-off exhibition, that'll be amazing, but we all know what it is, as opposed to something more storyline-based with OC and the Trent stuff involved.
So afterwards, that happened. Trent ends up attacking Orange Cassidy, and Statlander ended up coming out as well and inserting her into this. Willow makes the save, and she has an interview where Orange Cassidy just rolls up and gives her a little fist bump. I got to say this, especially after seeing Willow and Chris Statlander cut these promos, it had been brought to my attention that neither one of them really cut many live promos before this, and they're both really good at them. They're both just really good at them.
Yeah.
And it goes such a long way, and this is a very welcome mixed tag that we're going to get coming up. Trent and Chris Statlander against Orange Cassidy and Willow Nightingale. Can't wait for that. Jambeard says, as a longtime viewer of Fightful, I can tell you guys are doing a great job. I should know from watching you guys for over 30 years. Thanks, guys. Tree emojis.
I get the joke. I understand. I understood that reference. So
we get the Jericho vignettes.
Lots of them. Lots of them.
When Jericho showed up, he's doing the over the top, hey, driver, including, I think, Rosario was driving him. And he teaches the cameraman how to work the camera. Backstage, they approach 2.0. They approach a man scooping chicken and dumplings, and Jericho teaches him how to do it the right way. Then he approaches Private Party and says that their party should be for everyone, and they should rename themselves Public Party, and they're invited to TV time next week. So, oh boy. I think, you know, and listen, I was an advocate of this last week. I thought it was a little too over the top this
was
week.
It now? Oh, good. I'm glad you've come to your senses.
A little too over the top. I'm not done. Hold on. Because okay. I know I won't get to say much after I pass it off, Alex. Way too over the top for me. I feel like, you know, them just doing the inspirational quotes and stuff could work pretty well because Jericho, I do believe that he thinks that he is somebody that everybody should learn from.
Right.
And in reality, he probably is somebody that a lot of people could learn things from.
In theory, but not in practice.
In theory, sure. Oh, boy. Share your thoughts on this, Alex. I'm ready to hear it.
Listen, I guess I have to give him credit to leaning in to all the criticism that he has gotten from myself and many others as his run in AEW has gone on, and I would argue gotten pretty stale, that he's just there for himself. All he wants is TV time. So he's going to name his segment TV time. And then because he's such a veteran, he thinks he could teach everybody everything. And so what is he doing? He's teaching a guy, a random, not, sue me if I'm wrong about this, a guy I had never seen on Dynamite before, scooping chicken and dumplings at catering. It wasn't like it was a fellow wrestler or something, because everything else seemed to be like in reference to people that he has come across in the past or whatever. Yes. But this is just a random dude at catering. And I feel
with Big Bill also offering words of wisdom and Brian Keith talking about how everybody's disrespecting Chris Jericho.
Right. Now Brian Keith is playing his role very well as the bad apple. And Big Bill, this proves Big Bill can do literally anything if he's as good at this as he has at everything else. Jericho has just decided, I'm not gonna turn the dial up on all of this stuff they say about me to 10. I'm gonna turn it up to 30. And I feel like that's where you're saying it's a little over the top. I would say it's a lot over the top. But my question about tonight is, what is any of this in aid of? Like, at this point, Hook and now Samoa Joe have moved on to other things, it looks like. So I don't even know who he's feuding with. Like, is he feuding with me personally? Because if so, I'm tapping out. You won. Stop it. Stop doing this to me. I can't take it anymore. I quit. Like, if that's what he's doing, fine. He won. Like, I don't need to see it anymore. You don't need to, like, cut back to him 5 times during an episode of Dynamite to prove to me that he is this thing.
Was it 5? Was it 5 or was it 4?
It was at least 4. It might have been 5. I don't know.
They had the plane, 2.0, the dumplings, and Private Party, yeah.
There was not a... Okay, well, if that was all of it, then mea culpa. It just felt like 5. It felt like, actually, it felt like 20, but it was more than... It felt like more than 4. I guess the only thing we actually get out of this is Private Party is going to be on the learning tree next week. And then I'm assuming it'll be Private Party versus Big Bill and Brian Keith, which I guess is a tag match you can do, but I don't know why you have to go through all of this to get to that.
If you want to learn how to make your tree grow an extra branch. My friends, you know we always care about your performance at Fightful, and we want to keep that performance at a main event level. And you can with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a much more affordable option. Blue Chew is ready whenever you are or whenever you're not. Helps give you that extra motivation. That way you can make sure that your performance is at a championship level. You go online to bluechew.com, And when approved by our online physicians, you get that confidence, you get that performance, and you get it shipped straight to your door. No awkward conversations with the doctor, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, all that stuff. Use that code FIGHTFUL, get your first shipment free. That's how confident that they are, that they're going to make you confident. What do you have to lose? BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Matt Kuhn Music, good friend of the show, says, because I've been watching more and more Fightful Live video content, Alex is great at this, and Kate looks terrible tonight, and I feel bad for her. Well, you know I'm not Kate because my internet works.
There you go. Yep.
And because I kicked off the show with an intro. Although, my other office is undergoing tech difficulties. Won't attach the webcam after I had to get a whole new rig.
That's unreal. So terrible.
Tom LaValle says, super chat for that super segue, A+ SRS. Chris says, does Tony know that Chris has go away heat? Don't talk about yourself like that, Chris. Chris, don't do that to yourself. We've by far got more super chats about this than anything else, Alex. Yeah, well, so
people like to mess with me.
People like it. Jambeard says, I think the Jericho stuff was the best part of this show, and I really enjoyed the wrestling on this episode. Tony says, them breaking the Jericho stuff up makes it seem like, to me, like they were trying to see if it would prevent channel changes. But to me, it was worse. What's your theory on that, Alex?
I honestly don't know. Like, I would much prefer a straight 5-minute, my God, probably with the way he talks, an 8-minute segment in the ring, them doing a learning tree thing together at once, then just dropping in on the learning tree 4 times in 2 hours when I don't know it's coming. I would actually prefer more TV time in total if it's all at once, as opposed to spread out over the course of the evening. Cause it's just, every so often it was just a jump scare. Like I was just watching a wrestling program and then, oh Jesus, you know, it was too much.
Tim McFall says, this episode proves that that TK hates Alex and the SGS. Shauna Walensky says, glad to see that Alex survived the horrible, cringy, and obnoxious Jericho segments. Barely. 2LT Cole Photo says, please tell me you still like this, Sean. I did not like tonight's. Didn't.
It might have been. Jordan Scott. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not for me. It was not for me. It was too much. Jordan Scott says, there's no depending. It was an outright violent threat. It was the calamities of Jericho. It's just like him trying to overkill something, though Brian Keith did pop me. I mean, that's at least the benefit. That's at least the positive element of this.
Like I genuinely hope what people are telling me they think is going to happen, which is this is going to make Brian Keith into a big star. That'd be amazing. I think that'd be a really cool story for Brian Keith. I think he's really talented. That would be the first time anybody's actually had their career actively helped by being involved in a career. And like some people, in spite of it, after they break away from him, do better things, but not while they're part of it. So
Dante says, Jericho and the Bucks doing the obnoxious heel thing is too much. If I got rid of one, it'd be Jericho's shout-talking segments because they don't add anything other than make a mid-episode worse. That is a very, very good point. You've kind of already got Bucks doing the very like sarcastic, smarmy, like we're pretending to be nice guys thing. And I mean, I think that one kind of works, but I had pitched a similar gimmick to this before, but I think like an Apollo Crews would be good at it because he's a guy that appears so nice that you really can't tell whether he's being genuine or not.
Yeah.
With Jericho, you know he's not being genuine.
Right.
And I think that a guy like Apollo Crews, for example, like you see him and you're like, okay, I buy it. I buy that maybe he's saying these things and he thinks they're nice, but they're not. Sawyer says, if this tree stable ends with Keith way more over so he can join Hangman and Bandito in a Western trio, it will be worth it. Listen, at this point, I kind of like the idea of Bandito and Keith as a tag team and Hangman. I think it's kind of
love
fun.
That idea. I love that idea. I that seems like it's quite a ways off from the bad apple, the guy who tells people not to disrespect Chris Jericho, to being in this Western themed tag team.
Jambeard says it's funny when people say Jericho is a channel changer, when through out of the 5 years of AEW, he's always been a demo draw on a consistent basis. I don't pay attention enough to the numbers to really speak on that necessarily. I pay attention to the media rights numbers. That's what I'm more worried about. TV viewership numbers, unless they're like really, really great or so terrible that the company's about to shut down. I don't usually pay that much attention to it personally. That's not my beat. That's something that WrestleNomics covers very well.
Yeah.
Patrick says the Bucks approving Jericho getting multiple segments is their most heel move yet. I mean, that would honestly be kind of funny if like Jericho on TV said, I want to thank the Young Bucks for actively approving me getting this television time. You guys have been visionaries. 2LT Cole Photo says, get Large William and Bounty Hunter out now.
We'll see. We'll see what comes out of this. Because right now they're not doing anything with it. So we'll see what comes out of this in a couple of months. Or maybe, let's be honest, 12 months.
Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. We are finally at the end of the super chats and humper chats for this. Meet Norma says, meet here. Let's crank. How much more TV time can we give to the likes of Jericho, Jeff Jarrett, and Dan Lambert, but no dedicated second win or women's match? Meet forever. That is a very good point. There have been an awful lot of acts with what is perceived as go-away heat that, listen, I always said, once I saw Baron Corbin live and I heard those reactions, I was like, okay, I get how a guy could be on the other side of Gorilla and say, okay, this is good heat. And like, if he wrestled like he does now, I probably wouldn't have had as much of a problem with it. But this has happened an awful lot, and I know there have been people that have said, this ain't it. And Jericho was one of the people who predicted the reaction. It's just, I don't know if this is, I don't know if it's the right kind of heat. Don't know if it's the right kind of heat. The Young Bucks also cut the Acclaimed segment while they were rapping. The Young Bucks got confronted backstage. Chi-Town Spurs says the Bucks cutting Max's rap and an in-ring Acclaimed segments. They are the heroes of this story. No, they are the Monday Night Monkey's Paw, Alex. Mm-hmm. They cut that segment, but what they did was they used that time for Chris Jericho.
Well, that's true, but the actual monkey's paw of it is them cutting off Max Caster rapping is the babyface turn of the century. However, it's not actually, because they're going to have a feud between the Bucks and the Acclaimed for the tag titles out of this, with the Acclaimed still somehow positioned as baby faces, even with Max Caster rapping about sexual assault in every single rap. And I don't think he should do that.
I
just don't think he should do that.
Backstage, we have Samoa Joe and Hook interview interrupted by Daivari and Nice. Nice says, you know, after all this time, you haven't gotten serious and stop eating that garbage. And Hook said, after all this time, you haven't gotten serious and started winning matches. First question, where is Josh Woods? That dude looks like $1 million. He should be with the varsity athletes. He should be on TV more. I think he's very good. Matty Nice says, premier athletes signing Gable to AEW. That ain't happening. No. But sure, I guess. I legitimately forgot that Tony Nese and Ari Daivari were on this show.
Right. No, it was the segment that was just supposed to give a reason why now Samoa Joe and Hook will team up, maybe on an episode of Rampage. I don't know. Like, we can't devote real TV time on Dynamite to things like that. To a new team of Samoa Joe and Hook, we got to do more, you know, Chris Jericho stuff. But all you have to understand about this is you never touch another man's Funyuns. Like that, like Hook was ready to go off. And I love Samoa Joe, who we've seen be as rage, as frothing with rage as we've ever seen any wrestler, be the one who's like, no. We killers don't respond to tactics like that. We're going to meet them later. And Hook just really wants to fight. He's like, no. Zen. Like I'm interested in this Samoa Joe who picks his battles because that is not the Samoa Joe we've seen in the past.
Yes. Ryan says, Sean, do you have any update on Ricky Starks and his whereabouts?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If not, can you ask? I think it's beyond ridiculous that he's still not being used. Well, he's at the gym tonight. I will ask around, because there was some conflicting like terminology where, you know, he said that he would like to be on TV, and we got Tony saying, oh, he'd love to have him back sometime. I will work on that. TNT title qualifier, Mark Briscoe versus Brian Cage. So Brian Cage has been getting a little bit of a push of late, which, you know, I say good, especially considering he's got this very, very lengthy contract. Not as long as he said, but it is lengthy. Mm-hmm. But I saw Mark Briscoe come out there and I was like, the ROH world champ has not like been on the show, should not be getting pinned, anything like that.
No.
So I was pleasantly surprised when he won.
Well, I mean, because he's the ROH champ, I did not think he was going to lose, but my thing is the ROH world champ probably shouldn't be in it's going to be fun with Mark Briscoe in it. I'm not saying Mark Briscoe shouldn't be in it. I'm saying the ROH world champion probably shouldn't be contending for a mid-card title in AEW. You know what I mean? Like, have him be the guy in ROH who consistently is on ROH programming, defending that title, building up to what's the thing they're doing? I forget, what do they call it in July? They have a pay-per-view. Have him build to that, as opposed to being in a ladder match at Forbidden Door less than 3 weeks from when he's hopefully defending that title. That's why ROH has this cloud hanging over it, and it's not getting any people to watch it, because the only time you ever see the ROH world champion is not on ROH. It's on Dynamite.
I agree. I completely agree. Alicia Atoot interviewed Mark Briscoe on socials and announced she was All Elite. So this is a move that actually has been a long, long time coming. Obviously, they have wanted more backstage interviewing talent. She is in a relationship with MJF. That, you know, that completely separate of that. I'm not surprised that she was there. Sure. She did incredible work in MLW as a character. One of my favorite interviews I ever did was with her and Richard Holiday. So I'm glad to see that. This has been in the works for a very, very long time. But I mean, I think there were visa hurdles and a lot of things like that. We see Jack Perry backstage, and listen, Jack Perry's been doing the best work of his career since he came back too. Like, and I'll say this every time, every week that goes by, I feel like the decision to air that footage was a little bit better every single week that he keeps on killing it. And he cuts a promo. We're going to have them included in this match. Uh, I, I'm down for it. I like it. I like Mark Briscoe winning here. Wish that the ROH title was on ROH more. Still, check out our review every Thursday here on YouTube.com/Fightful. Meet Norma says, couldn't hump today. The price of Max is about to go up in August. Does this factor into the timing of an AEW TV contract announcement? I would assume that if we were to get an announcement, it would be closer to then, honestly. I really do. There is an offer on the table. Like, there is. And I'm going to work on putting together another report for FightfulSelect.com. But I said this earlier today. If you're AEW, ideally you want next day or concurrent streaming on Max, if you can. You want TBS, TNT, True TV. I don't give a damn what they got. Showing your show, not just live, but you want them replaying it at like 2 p.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of those things is what you want. You want your pay-per-views and PLEs on there if it makes sense. Dare I say that a big part of WWE's popularity explosion probably has to do with the accessibility of their pay-per-views and their PLEs and all that stuff. It's very easy to watch them. And I think that that's something that could hopefully happen. Daniel Garcia vignette, man, they were heavy on the video packages tonight. And that's good because how often do you have people saying, huh, you're not even going to do a video package? And then when you do like 50 of them, you still got people right. crying about Mina Shirakawa, who's been on the show for 2 months, not getting one. Mm-hmm. But you saw video packages for him, for Mercedes, who we'll talk about. The Daniel Garcia one is good, but much to your point, like you should have just been in that match earlier.
Yeah, I'm the guy who's saying like Daniel Garcia is, let's say Jack Perry is the guy who comes away with the TNT title. The perfect guy to chase and eventually dethrone him is Daniel Garcia. Yeah. And I would personally start all of that by having them do memorable spots to each other in the ladder match for that vacant title. Have Jack Perry yeah. win the match by pushing Daniel Garcia yeah. off the ladder so that he can do it. And that starts the whole thing because we've already seen him have that match versus Copeland and then have the match versus a very good match versus Christian Cage at Revolution and then just faded away from the TNT title. When I thought that was a really good spot for him. And I don't think even if Will Ospreay does accept that title challenge, I don't think he's beating Will Ospreay for the international title, but I do sure. think he could over the next few months build up to where he's the TNT champ. So I think you should do that instead.
Jambeard says that Perry's qualifying match against should be either against Nakazawa or Matt Sydal to screw with CD plus put Nick Wayne in the ladder match. I think Nakazawa would honestly be a very funny idea in that regard. I think that'd be a really good touch.
I really like the idea of Nick Wayne in the ladder match as kind of like a representative of the patriarchy to bring the title back to the family. Like Christian Cage moved on, but Nick Wayne is going to do it for his dad kind of a thing. I think that could be a cool yes. reason why he gets a qualifier and then he wins the qualifier and gets in. He wouldn't win the match, but I think it'd be a cool thing to get him in there.
We get the Mercedes Moné video package and QR code. Mercedes really puts over Stephanie here and
yeah.
talks about how facing her, Stephanie probably didn't even know how good she was. But an important piece of business here is that this match is going to be title for title. Now, earlier this year when Fightful Select reported that Mercedes was going to be coming to AEW, we reported not only is she coming to AEW, New Japan's going to keep using her as well, mm-hmm. which, you know, there's a whole lot of back and forth, and I'm not going to get into, I can get into what Mercedes said, where she claimed that she was cleared in December. New Japan was outright, like, if she was cleared in December, we would have booked her for January 4th and Battle in the Valley. Yeah. But it looks very much like she is going to be continuing with New Japan, which is wonderful for her. It's wonderful for New Japan. You got a whole lot of people. I responded to a tweet today that say, like, where does New Japan benefit from the partnership with AEW? And they would complain when AEW would sign away their talent. Well, when it's a difference of millions of dollars, I'm sorry. Like, I'll give you guys a good example. If somebody came along and offered Alex three times what he was making here, I'm not going to say Alex got poached. I'm going to say Alex got a great opportunity. That's what I would say.
Listen, because I am very loyal, I would give you the opportunity to match. I'm just saying, I would give the opportunity to match plus 5%, and then everything 20%. Is 20%. But I mean, honestly, but yes, thank you. I probably would have to consider the offer.
Oh man. So yeah, that's now New Japan has an IWGP champion who is one of the biggest stars in wrestling. They get to use a ton of the talent, including Mercedes, who's about to be one of their biggest stars as well. Cool. Like the video package, made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I listen, this match is going to be amazing. You listen, Forbidden Door. You get Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa and Stephanie Vaquer versus Mercedes. Like, those two women's matches are going to be among the top five women's matches of the year, perhaps, if not one of them being the best of the year. Certainly a very good chance of it. Like, they're going to be amazing. Like, Forbidden Door, having those matches on it for the women is a huge stride in the right direction. I think that is going to be, as we say here, a humper.
Christian Cage meets with the Young Bucks. I don't have a lot on this one, but check out Christian Cage's interview with Chris Van Vliet. He doesn't do a lot of those, and it was really, really good. Like, just unbelievably good. Blackpool Combat Club defeated Team CMLL. This was such an ass-whooping early on. I was like, is this about to be a squash? Like, yeah. That's how much it was. Wheeler Yuta's back. They mentioned that the last time all four of these guys were together in a match was Anarchy in the Arena last year.
Yeah.
A phenomenal match here. Now, I get it. A lot of people aren't going to know the people on Team CMLL. I think they should have done a little video package here. That should have happened.
Yeah.
But Wheeler Yuta gets the pin with a nice seatbelt pin. Oh, I loved it. And like them putting him up on his on Claudio's shoulders. This was a reintroduction of Wheeler Yuta and a way to say Blackpool Combat Club is still a thing.
Yeah. I missed Wheeler Yuta, that little shit. he's great. And it was cool to let him get the pinfall here. I thought all the CMLL guys were great. Like this, I'm listen again. I don't know all these guys very well. Whichever, I think it was the Sphinx, yes. Who was doing the monkey flips to Claudio. Like, those weren't monkey flips; those were King Kong flips.
Yeah.
Like, I have never seen a monkey flip to get that height and that distance out of the corner. Those were amazing. These guys are great. And I love, honestly, that Forbidden Door is now like branching out to other areas of the world. Like, who knows what this is in another 3 or 4 years, where we might be getting like top Australian talent and stuff, like some really cool stuff that you could get in Forbidden Door.
Well, Brian Danielson cut a wonderful promo after this backstage directly into the camera. He said, it's been a few months since I revealed that this is going to be my last year as a full-time competitor. Now, he has said he will still wrestle here and there, which, you know, great, because it seems like he'll wrestle probably estimate 6 to 8 pay-per-views and then maybe a couple Dynamite big matches here and there, cool. Give me that.
Yeah.
Him wrestling still more than like Brock Lesnar used to wrestle here for it. And he was like, you know what? I lost this match. I lost that match, but losing Anarchy in the Arena really hurt me. He's like, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out as big as possible. I'm going to win the Owen Hart Cup, and I'm going to win the AEW World title at All In. So people kept asking me, why are they doing Will Ospreay and Swerve at Forbidden Door? And I was like, you know, I don't know what they have planned, but it seemed pretty evident to me. MJF and Ospreay is the long play. And I have long thought, and we didn't talk a lot about that, but we have long talked about how they like to level up those championships. And I kind of scoffed when they did it with the All-Atlantic title, but they did it. And they did it. It worked. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to almost like sort of level this up again to where you've got Ospreay and MJF. And then you've got Bryan Danielson challenging for the world title at All In. Now, I can't say that he's going to win it, but it seems awfully wild to me that he's positioning himself for this and might go into his last full-time match as world champion. But remember, it's full-time.
Right.
So there are creative decisions here that could lead to him retaining the title.
Sure.
There. Or he could just lose.
He could just lose.
He could lose in the first round of the Owen, and this could be this could develop into a next time I lose, I'm done type of thing.
Right. It could
there's so many ways to go about this.
I feel like he is winning the Owen.
I hope he does.
I think that's that's why you don't do Ospreay versus Swerve at All In if you're going to do Danielson for the world title at All In, especially if you have Danielson win the world title at All In.
Yeah.
And then he could do all right, next guy that beats me, that's when my part-time thing starts, when I lose this title. And just a month down the line, maybe a long time before we think he would then embark on part-time, you've got WrestleDream in Washington State, where maybe somehow Swerve wins a battle royal or something and gets a rematch with... I don't mind Swerve dropping it to Danielson and Danielson getting help being able to hold the world title. Swerve could easily win it back and then drop it to Ospreay sometime in 2025 if everyone says the real thing we're going to get to is Swerve versus Ospreay with Ospreay winning. That could happen at Revolution or Dynasty or Double or Nothing in 2025. I think there's a really cool thing of opportunity for Danielson versus Swerve, both of them Washington State guys in Washington State. I always feel like that's an important thing. The place matters sometimes when you're booking wrestling. I think that'd be kind of cool too.
I loved this promo. Jeff says, any word on when the Owen is scheduled to begin? It's got to be soon.
July. I believe it's
I thought it was ending in July.
The finals are in July.
AEW Calgary 2024. Let's see. I mean, July 10th is when they're doing Calgary. So that's a month. I don't know. I don't know when exactly Natalya's deal is up, but I'm I wonder if they're just holding off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether they're holding off.
The thing about this is that we now have a bunch of still, I'm assuming at least four more qualifying matches for this ladder match that's happening at Forbidden Door, while we also have to start super soon on the matches in the first round of the Owen Hart tournament. And it would be weird if people were in both things. I mean, you can still do it that way, but it's, I don't know. So there's a lot to get started on in the next couple of weeks.
There's just a ton. There is a ton. And listen, I'm all for... I'm all for this Owen tournament. I think that it's there was a point where I was like, okay, well, a ladder match and the qualifiers and this tournament, and then you got all that. You know what? I'm good with it. AEW is kind of built on that anyway. So I'm good with it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Matty Nice says Darby beating BD at Wrestle Kingdom. Bryan Danielson at Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know. I know one thing. Nord rules. How many times have you seen it? A big name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Soraya defeated Mariah May. A lot of people were asking, why did this match get moved from last week? From what I understand, like, it wasn't supposed to be announced for last week. It was always supposed to be this week. Maybe a miscommunication there. Clearly, Soraya was not happy with it. But I saw some people saying, like, oh, well, they probably did this to appease her. As best I know, she was always planned to win as well, because this is to advance a little bit of the Mariah May story and Toni Storm. I forgot that Toni Storm was a part of the Outcasts. I got to be honest with you. Like, that's how different she was now. Because like, you know, they got their new thing going now. Harley's a part of it. Mm-hmm. Zack Knight's a part of it. And you know, good for Zack Knight and good for Harley. She's been killing it.
Yes.
Good for
Zack Knight. I did not realize he had been inducted into the Peaky Blinders. That's a big step for him. They've got a new movie they're making. He's probably going to be cast in that.
He wrestles with the hat on.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it doesn't come off. And I'm dead serious about that. So I forgot about that, but Tony's banter during this was so good. She said, AEW is where the breasts wrestle. And then during the commercial, which you'd be able to see if you got NordVPN.com/Fightful, she said, piss off, Soraya. I don't have time for this now. Unhand my child, which was phenomenal.
Snap her tits off. Do it. Like, this is great. She's amazing on commentary. This is Soraya's best match that I've seen in, I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Mariah May's really, 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 really great. And yes, I guess the result is a little shocking, but part of the thing was that she was like almost looking to Toni Storm for permission to tap out, because it did hurt.
Sure.
And Toni like was on mic telling, no, you can't stay in that forever, darling. It's all right. And then she tapped out. And then I was like, that was cool. And it was to like show that she had concern for the well-being of her.
Yes.
And then there was the beatdown, which there was Mina Shirakawa made the save. And then they were going to get, they bounced boobs off of each other for a while. That was fun.
We'll talk about that momentarily. We'll get into that. Okay. Allen Jr. says, Soraya is undervalued, needs to change soon. Well, I mean, her getting a win here hopefully will lead to some semblance of creative. Yeah. I mean, like, listen, she had a good match with Hikaru Shida last year. Before her absence, she had good matches regularly. I mean, she had good ones with Emma, with Sasha Banks. It happened. But I mean, like, hard to kind of get started when you don't get those one-on-one reps, and she doesn't really get those one-on-one reps a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're paying her a lot of money. They're paying her a lot of money because they were trying to fortify that division. And I say, you know, at least give her the shot to show why it was that you hired her and put that money into her in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now after this, we got a lot of people saying it was her best AEW match. I agree. I think it was a good match. Jambeard says thought they might do the towel spot again. I think eventually they're going to do that's going to come back and come full circle. Tom LaValle then talks about Mina Shirakawa, Mina versus Deep Friday into my veins. Let's effing go. So Mina comes out. I feel like I have seen her run out and make the save like a lot. But maybe it's only been two or three times now. And then obviously Toni and Mina are not on the same page, and Mariah is trying to bring them in together. I like this. Like, Mariah is trying to force her will onto Toni now and being like, no, you're going to hang out with who I want you to hang out with. Mm-hmm. She's no longer like just a lackey here.
Yeah, no, a lot of them have been on TV, but there's so many of these that are on social media that start out with Toni Storm saying, there, just racing up Robin saying, bosom, And in runs Mariah May to like place her face right next to the bosom. And so that was kind of like Turnabout's fair play to Toni Storm, who ended up on Mariah May's bosom as she was trying to like make sure they didn't fight, just nestled nice next to the bosom. This is a lot of fun. You can tell Tony's having a blast with it. And I mean, if the winner of the women's Owen Hart tournament gets the title shot at All In, maybe Mariah May is winning that.
Yeah.
Like, there wouldn't be a storyline reason for her to like, for Toni Storm to give her a title shot, but Mariah May, like, getting into the tournament, like, and like, oh, obviously, when you win, darling, when we have our title match at Wembley, you'll just lay down and I'll pin you. And then by the time that rolls around, Mariah May says, no, we're actually going to do this because I think I can beat you. There's some cool stuff you can do with that.
So we've got Sawyer saying, Tony, Mariah, and Mina are so good. Happy Pride. Yes, indeed. Happy Pride Month. Mike Hawk says, Toni Storm, Mariah May, Mina was the number one segment. Yep. Tim says, Mina, Toni, and Mariah's love triangle is epic. Great physical comedy. But yeah, they aren't playing the relationship for laughs. This is a first in North American wrestling and way overdue. Happy Pride all. Indeed. You know what? That's a very, very good point.
Yeah.
We had a Roderick Strong video package and a Swerve interview where he talked about MJF's comments. And he said that he was sending the contract to Will to sign. And he's like, don't worry, Nana, shipping's on me. Which I appreciated. And then we got the match. Now, a big talking point was, should Roderick Strong have gotten this match? And my main qualm with it was, I feel like Swerve should have been the one that said, yeah, give that little bitch a title match. Because for those that didn't see it, on Collision, Roderick Strong had a phenomenal match with Leo Rush, who I'm very happy to see back. It was so good. And Roderick Strong approached Tony Khan, who, have you ever seen Superbad, Alex?
Years and years ago, but yeah, once.
The only way I could describe his demeanor is when Jonah Hill's character says, fuck Becca, and he is met with surprise that his friend who has a crush on Becca would be offended by such, and he goes, oh, wow, yeah. That's how Tony responded to this. He's like, oh, what? You want to tie? There's no way. Really? And then he goes, okay, you get one. Because the point of the gauntlet match, which I think is fantastic, it is just as beneficial to be the first entrant as the most recent, because that gauntlet match can end whenever you
want,
or whenever possible. So Roderick Strong was excluded from that. The pin happened before he came out. And he was like, you know what? I would have won that. And I feel like it should have been on Swerve a little bit. Tony Khan should have been like, listen, that's not how it works. You are absolutely world title quality. And he is 15-3 in singles matches in AEW.
Yeah.
Phenomenal record. But I feel like Swerve should have been like, no. Let's make an exception this one time.
Right.
Let's do that. That's my only qualm with how this happened. Because listen, we're talking about WWE, where a person just got a title shot after losing one because of a retirement promo, one that got a title shot where they ain't won a singles match since October. And then one just because, like, sure. But those are my qualms with how it was set up.
I like Roddy's pointing out that not only was I going to be the last guy into the gauntlet match, which would have given me an advantage had I gotten into it, but also I would have been able to get my revenge on Ospreay, who got lucky against me for the international title. So like he want, and if before Ospreay, he says, I need to beat Swerve so that then Swerve is coming after. So then Ospreay has to come after me again. And I'm going to beat him this time after I beat Swerve. Like, for Roddy Strong, all of that makes sense. I like all of that coming from him. What I don't like is Tony Khan going, yeah, sounds good. Like, no, I don't know. Why does it sound good? And that doesn't make any sense. Like, listen, let me put in a call to Swerve. If he's cool with it, then I'm cool with it.
Sure.
And then by the time like the end of the show rolls around, then you could actually announce at the end of Collision, this is what we're doing. We're doing this because all the calls were placed. Him just saying yes as soon as it was asked felt weird.
Love Frost says, love the end. Celebrate with that grandma, Swerve. Swerve did after a phenomenal match.
Such a great match, gosh.
Phenomenal match. Swerve and Nana celebrated with Wrestling Granny out there. Man, this was really good. Sometimes you just need an absolute slapper of a match. Yeah. Go ahead.
When Roderick Strong first showed up in AEW, I was like, hell yeah. Because if we get peak Roddy Strong, him against the very top guys, it's going to be they're going to be amazing matches because that dude is so great at everything. And this was exactly what I had in mind. I was watching this going like, I'm remembering the excitement that I felt when Roderick Strong showed up as a surprise when he had the SRS a Tron, and we all thought maybe it was actually you debuting. I was like, this is going to be great. And he had that thing where he was yelling at people while grabbing a giraffe and wearing a neck brace. And it was like, this is fine, but it's not exactly what I wanted out of Roderick Strong. This is what I goddamn wanted out of Roderick Strong. It was so, so great. And Swerve had to up his game. This was excellent TV wrestling, man.
You know, the way I would have accepted Tony Khan just arbitrarily making this, said that he sympathized with Roderick Strong.
That's nice. It's good.
James Stalling says, the fact that Roderick Strong was not being used in NXT for all that time is criminal. He is great, and I'm happy for him. Well-deserved. Well, we had a report on Fightful Select, I want to say a couple years ago, where there was a time and a regime in NXT where there was going to be an effort to make the NXT Cruiserweight title like the World Cruiserweight title.
Right.
And they wanted to put world caliber level talent in there. And by that, I mean their perception of like Kushida and Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
And gosh, who else? I think Carmelo at one point was discussed for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't end up happening.
Yeah.
Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are wrapping up. Please leave a thumbs up. And as always, leave a nice comment below. I've got an interview with Mark Henry coming up this week and a cool video that I did in the studio when it worked about the times I met Maven. And it is a shameless attempt to piggyback off of his success and try to get into his recommended video section.
Nice.
Meat Normus says, will we ever get Meat Madness asking for a friend? Yes, I think we almost definitely will because they realize the buzz associated with that.
Yeah.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on Mondays reviewing Raw there with Kate, with the great Kate. And also Tuesdays on this year channel, this YouTube, reviewing NXT. NXT Battleground is Sunday. We'll be reviewing that. A lot of really interesting stuff there. The former AEW star, Ethan Page, getting a title shot in his first match versus Trick Williams. Jordan Grace versus Roxanne Perez. A lot of really cool stuff at Battleground. That should be a really excellent show. Looking forward to reviewing that on Sunday. Also, Friday, we'll review SmackDown. Why not?
Guys, thank you all so much. Leave us a nice review on podcast platforms, whether it be Apple, Amazon, Spotify. I've been pushing that an awful lot lately. We're going to have special giveaways where everybody who has left reviews is eligible, and we'll pretty well limit some of them to them. But guys, make sure you check out all of our stuff that we have going on. FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, we're out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.